Good morning. And love and peace to you from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you. Nice shirt, Ryan. We continue our journey through the Gospel of Matthew. And at this time, usually disciples would choose their teacher, but Jesus calls his disciples. He calls them, rather than having them select him. What this means for us today is that Jesus has called each and every one of us, so we're more likely to follow Jesus Christ, especially after John's imprisonment, because their teacher is now gone. So it's kind of ironic, though, that Jesus is going to teach fishermen how to fish, right? But the object is different. He's teaching them how to fish for people, not for fish. Charles Spurgeon says, when Christ calls us by his grace, we ought not only to remember what we are, but we ought also to think of what he can make of us. It is, follow me and I will make you. We should repent of what we have been, but rejoice in what we may be. It is not follow me because of what you already are. It is not follow me because you may make something of yourself, but follow me because of what I will make of you. Live with Jesus, follow Jesus, and he will make you fishers of men. And he'll even make more than that out of you. Amen? Now, is Jesus only speaking to pastors and clergy types? No. No, okay. Well, you guys got that. I guess, should I just sit down now? All right. But imagine if Pastor Robin and Pastor Robert and Pastor Perry and I went up to Lake Pleasant to go fishing. All right? How many fish would we catch? Zero. Yeah. Right. But imagine if we all went up there to go fishing. We'd catch some fish, right? Somebody would, right? Bruce, yeah. We'd have to take Bruce with us. Okay. All right. And I know Daniel would catch one, but it'd only be that big. That's okay. All right. Yeah. We are all good enough to be fishers of men, to be used by Jesus Christ. It reminds me of a man in my former church, Ray Ulrich. You remember him, Dorothy? He went into a mission church down in Maryville back in the 60s when there was nothing out there, and John C. Long was building neighborhoods, okay? Well, he happened to be the mailman. And guess who he invited to church? The entire neighborhood, okay? So the church grew rapidly. And to see Ray Ulrich, he was just a little short guy, but he was out preaching Jesus, okay? And people were raising their families there, and it was a successful church for 50 years, all right? And God used a little mailman, all right? So can God use us? Absolutely, right? So at once, they left their nets and followed him. Here we can see why Jesus called Peter and Andrew, John and James. They didn't hesitate to leave everything and follow him. They didn't make excuses or ask for more time to decide. They simply went. Today we would call this reckless or impulsive. But when it comes to accepting and following Jesus, there is nothing more important. In fact, it is reckless not to follow Jesus. Matthew Henry writes, "It is the good property of all Christ's faithful servants to come when they are called and to follow their master wherever he leads them." They objected not their present employments, their engagements to their families. The difficulties of the service they were called to are their own unfitness for it. But being called, they obeyed. And like Abraham, went out not knowing where they went, but knowing very well whom they followed. Do we know who we follow? Yes. So what are we waiting for? Example is, by the way, it's not only parishioners who are resistant to following Jesus. Sometimes you have to twist arms. Pastor Robin and Pastor Perry, you guys were just thrilled to go into the jails, weren't you? Okay. And would you trade that for anything now? Never. Okay. They were willing to take the risk. Okay. They were hesitant, but they took the risk. And it's been a blessing for the inmates, but also a blessing in our lives. Amen.
Thank you, dear. Is that better? Okay. Always listen to your wife. Okay. That's not in the message, but it is a message. Okay. Happy wife, happy life. That's right. Back to the message. Okay.
Spurgeon said, "If Christ has redeemed you, beloved, and you know it, get to His service straightway. Let there be no delay whatever, but at once commence to labor for your Lord." And people will come up to me and say, "Well, Pastor, I just don't know what to do." Well, you know what? After service, you just ask one of the pastors, and we'll have something for you to do. Believe me, all right? The problem is when people ask us and we tell them, they'll say, "Well, I can't do that." Is there something else? You mentioned something. "Well, I don't know. I don't think I can do that either." Okay. We need more jail ministers. So rather than making excuses, the disciples followed, and in the same way, we should follow. We can try things, and if it doesn't work out, guess what? That's okay. We've had jail ministers, believe it or not, who've only gone in once or twice. All right? So give things a try. Talk to the pastors. Either we want to follow Jesus or we want to remain comfortable. But is that kind of comfort really comfortable? The church is not meant to be a cruise ship where everybody relaxes, okay? I'll have a toddy now, okay? The church is a warship. And it's all hands on deck. All hands on deck. And if we don't realize we're in a spiritual war, we're missing it, all right? We have friends and family members who are perishing. Satan wants them to go to hell. And who stands in the way? The church. The body of Christ. Amen. Spurgeon tells a story about some men who were watching on a river that went into a large waterfall. And there was a man who was caught in the current, and he was going towards the waterfall, and they were trying to think of what they could do. And they figured there was nothing they could do, so they just watched the man, and he went off the waterfall and drowned. And then the one man said to the other, "You know, I was just thinking, you know, if I would have done this and worked this plan, I might have saved him." And the guy said, "That would have worked." And he said, "But your plan is too late." And the man couldn't sleep that night because he was thinking he could have saved this man's life. And I know each and every one of us here have lost a loved one or a friend, and we don't know where they went. And we just pray for God's mercy. And we have those regrets that we didn't speak to the people, right? Well, don't have those regrets. Speak to the people. Talk to them that there's more than just this world. There's an eternity. And we want to spend it with Jesus, and we want them to spend it with Jesus with us. Amen? Verse 23, "Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people." Once again, what is Jesus proclaiming? The kingdom of God. You're going to see that time and time again in the Gospels, okay? In the kingdom of God, there is great news. There's joy, there's love, there's peace, there's hope, intimacy with God, and there's miraculous healing. And Pastor Robin, I think she talked about it, was it in church or in Bible study, about Pastor Jane Ann's son. I can't remember. She can't remember either. No, okay. I didn't say it, all right? But we met a remarkable pastor up in Shepherd of the Hills in Fountain Hills, and we had a day of a pastor's retreat, and she shared with this group of pastors. They live up in eastern Washington, and her son is real active in sports, and likes to do the extreme sports and stuff, and snowboarding. He went snowboarding one day. Well, he went snowboarding, and what happened is he ended up falling off the snowboard, and he hit his head on a rock. And he hit it with so much force that it crushed the back of his skull, and it also set his brain crashed against the front of his skull. So he was in a coma. And they were praying for him, and he was stable. And they would talk to him and say, are you there with us? John, I'll just say John was his name. And he would put two thumbs up, okay? Well, everything was fine for a couple weeks. She spent 34 days in the room with him, praying, holding his hand and praying for him. But about the middle of that period, there was an emergency and he was going to die. And the doctor said, we have to do a lobotomy because the front of his brain is just too damaged. So we have to remove the frontal lobe. Well, if you remove the frontal lobe, that's where our personality and everything is, okay? And if you ask an RN, they'll tell you that the person's going to pretty much be a vegetable, okay? Well, they had to do it in order to save his life. And his brother said to his mother, Mom, we don't know where we're going to get if we say yes to the surgery. And she said, we're going to get your brother. So they prayed, and he had a frontal lobotomy, all right? Miraculously, and I do mean miraculously, he's living a normal life now. And he teaches scuba diving. Only God can do that, all right? Amen? So God is still working miracles. And you just ask your friends, doctors and nurses, you know, what happens if you have a full frontal lobotomy? What happens? And you'll realize what a miracle this is. We told Jamie, our adopted daughter, about it. And she's an RN, and she said, well, he's a vegetable now. And we said, no. God is good. Amen? So the great healer, Jesus Christ, is still here. He's still working miracles. All right? Amen? Bob Udley says, this involved three specific ministries, teaching, preaching, and healing. It is interesting to note that they responded to the third, but not always to the first and the second, to the teaching and preaching. The third was simply a confirmation of the vitality and power of the first two. It was possible to be healed and not be saved. Sadly, there's too many times when we've seen people healed from extreme things, heart disease, cancer, and they disappear. I'm healed, God, so I don't need them anymore. It's like the 9 lepers, you know, there were 10 lepers healed and only one came back. But Jesus still heals today. And maybe you're in need of healing today. He is here. Jesus is here, okay? Charles Spurgeon says, our Lord Jesus lived as in a hospital while he was on earth. Wherever he went, the sins and sorrows of men were all open before his sympathetic gaze. But, oh, what joy it must have been to him to be able to deal so well with all of them. Am I addressing any who are sick in soul? Our Master is used to cases just like yours. Your malady is not new to him. He has healed many like you. Of all that were brought to him, it is written, He healed them. Lie before him now in all your sin and misery and breathe the prayer, Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy on me. And he will surely hear you and heal you, for he delights to bless and save all who trust in him. Now at the close of my sermon today, I'm going to have Pastor Perry leading the prayer, and it's going to be for healing also. And if after worship, rather than go down and greet people, I'm going to stay up here and the pastors are going to be up here. If you want us to lay on hands and pray for you, come forward, okay? And we'll pray for you specifically and anoint you with oil, okay? Verse 24. Now news about Jesus spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Why did Jesus work miracles? Why did he work miracles? So that people would believe. In the Gospel of John, they're called signs to point to Jesus as being the Messiah, all right?
But I also believe Jesus was compassionate and loved the people, and we hear about that in the Gospels, that he had compassion on the crowds, okay? We have to remember that God is love, and that includes Jesus. Now, Jesus was naturally inclined to heal because he is God and lived in the kingdom of God. Healing is what happens in the kingdom of God. And that's why we want everyone to live in the kingdom of God. Bob Yudley says, in the Gospels, distinctions are made between physical sickness and demon possession. Although demonic forces might cause physical symptoms, the cure for each is different. Jesus healed all those who were brought to him. We know from other accounts that healing was sometimes based on the faith of the individual or the faith of the sick individual's friends, and sometimes it came without much faith at all. Physical healing did not always mean or imply spiritual salvation. Now, Jesus can heal whatever ails us, physical, emotional, psychological, or spiritual, which also includes the sin, our sin and demonic. And maybe we need healing today, and we're going to address that. But maybe we know someone who needs healing, who needs Jesus. And we're being called to bring people to him. Spurgeon says, let me tell you that if you would have souls saved, you must bring them to Jesus. But you say, they must come themselves. Yes, I answer, they must if they shall ever be saved. But before they will ever come themselves, you must bring them. You noticed in the text, those men who had palsy could not walk to Christ, but others brought them. Many of those poor demoniacs would not come, but they bound them hand and foot and made them come. Which speaks about, if your kids don't want to come to church, guess what? You bind them hand and foot and you drag them, all right? Doubtless, some of the lunatics struggled very hard not to be brought, but they would bring them. And people who were very near death's door, who could not stir hand or foot and were unconscious, they were brought too. The loving earnestness of their friends supplied the lack of strength in themselves. They could not come, but their friends could bring them. Are there people we can bring? Yes. I think we all have someone we can bring, right? George Otis, many years ago, worked for the Learjet Manufacturing Company. And he was a good friend of Bill Lear, who was pretty much a genius. And after he retired, George Otis, he was a Christian, and he felt a move by the Spirit to say, you know, I'm going to call Bill, see how he's doing. So he called up Bill Lear. And Bill answered the phone, and he wasn't quite himself, but they talked a little bit, and Bill said, I tell you what, George, give me 15 minutes and I'll call you back. So George hung up, and 15 minutes later, Bill Lear called him back. And he said, George, when you called me, I had a revolver out and I was going to kill myself. But he said, your call changed that. And he said, George, will you come up to Reno? I'll fly you up. And he said, yeah. So George Otis flew up to Reno and led Bill Lear to Jesus Christ. And several months later, Bill Lear died of leukemia, but he was a child of God. Amen? Go with that inner voice, okay? You can be driving around town, and you'll say, somebody will come to mind. It'll say, I need to call Frank. Go with that voice. And I'll say, pull over and call, okay? But call the person. That's how God works, okay? Don't text them, definitely not, okay? So the message today is let's go fishing, all right? Together, not just the pastors. And at this time, Pastor, I'm going to have you lead us in prayer. Please pray for healing, but also boldness for our witness. Because we have a tendency to want to sit on our hands, and eternity is too important for that. Amen?